All right, Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Great to visit today. We're going to talk a little bit about Texas high school football. Everything is big in Texas, and they're going to play this fall. But before we get into Texas high school, we got to get into the backstory of the connection to Aledo. We're talking, this is a tall drink of water in the WRMJ studios today. Mr. Dwayne Sutherland, who hails from Texas. He's about 6'7" tall. So first up, thanks for coming to Aledo. And what are you in Aledo for?
What am I in Aledo for? To get a break out of the heat from down where I live at and the humidity. No, I needed to make a trip up here. It's been 4 years the last time I visited. I've come up here a few times over the years. But I just wanted to see everybody because they're supposed to come down to where we're at. But the last couple of years, they haven't made it. So I make the trip up here. It's not 1,098 miles from my house to his office here in the square of Aledo, there by the courthouse.
So you have kinfolk here in Aledo, as we'd like to say down in Texas.
I do.
So tell us, what's your connection?
Bob Vickery, who is the owner of the Don R. Vickery Agency here in Aledo, and his brother Ed. Anyway, his wife, Bob's wife, is my next to the youngest sister. My youngest sister is also living in this area. They have presently live up there towards Milan, just north of here, but they used to live out here in Joy. And anyway, both my younger sisters are married to Aledo, formerly the Green Dragons.
That's right.
Here and have settled here for the last 40 plus years.
All right. And we'll give you a break. And I like it when people call Milan, Illinois, Milan, Illinois. So we'll give you a break on that.
Okay.
But most people do that anyway. But you say it better with that Texas twang accent like George Strait. All right, Tex, you do some Texas high school football on the airwaves through an internet stream.
We stream on the internet on www.thepressboxsports.ws.
All right.
I am a kind of a – sometimes I do the play-by-play or the – spotting and stuff like that for my partner who's the owner of it. His name is Mr. Skip Northrup. This guy here is 88-year-old, still gets around pretty good, but he's a former baseball player and a high school baseball coach back in the day in Texas. Anyway, he does this now to help supplement his Social Security,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We do get a little few sponsors there around the area, and we bring
and everybody loves listening to high school sports,
well,
even in Texas.
We get a few of them. Now mostly you don't get so many listeners because, like you said, everything in Texas is big. I showed Bob last night some of the high school football stadiums.
Yeah, I've seen
those. And they've got some, you know, multi-million-dollar facilities in some of these schools. Fortunately, where I'm at, we don't have that. But anyway. We'll get a few listeners here and there, but anyway, for the ones that can't make it. But he splits his broadcast between the Columbia Roughnecks, where I'm from, and the town 12 miles to the east of us is another. They're a 5A school, by the way, Angleton. They're the county seat of Brazoria County, there where we live at in southeast Texas.
So Texas football is interesting. We were talking a little bit off the air. Some of the classifications are playing already, and then the biggest classifications are waiting until later in the fall. I'm just curious, what is the
reasoning behind
that? Well, just what is this discussion? There's been so much debate about interscholastic athletics at the high school level with should we have these contact sports playing right now in the height of the pandemic? Now, a lot of it's related to Department of Public Health guidelines in each respective state that basically here in Illinois, the IHSA is acting at the behest of the Illinois Department of Public Health. So they can only do what the Illinois Department of Public Health is basically allowing them to do. So in Texas, what's been the debate there? Has there been much discussion about, should we be doing this or shouldn't we be doing this? But they've decided, you know, and I can't imagine, well, it's hard for me to imagine in Illinois that we're not going to have high school football in the fall. That's hard to believe, especially in a town like this, in Aledo. And I can't imagine in Texas not having high school football on a Friday night in the fall. So what has been, Has that been a big debatable topic down there?
Yes, to an extent. But the thing is, and I don't mean to get political, but Texas is a Republican state. We have a Republican governor. And his COVID-19, along with the CDC on the requirements, they're leaving their jurisdiction up to the schools.
So the local control issue.
So long as they kind of go with the guidelines, enforce the rules, then we can have football in the state of Texas, or volleyball for the girls, you know, fall sports. There are some strange things that's going to happen from what I understand. This is what I've heard. The football players and coaches, as long as the coaches, maybe I don't know for sure on the coaches, but the football players themselves, when they're on the sidelines, not in the game, are to wear a mask or face coverings. But they can take them off to go play. Now, figure that. But once they come back on the sideline, they're supposed to put a face mask back on. Yeah.
So what you know what the protocol is? Surely a coach eventually or a player is going to test positive during the course of the high school football season. What happens?
That's a very good possibility. And like I said, it just remains to be seen. If it becomes where the numbers of that scenario increase, then there's a good possibility you would think the UIL would step in and maybe even up to an extent shut.
So the UIL is like the governing
body? Is the governing body of extracurricular activities in the state of Texas.
So you started, as we were talking off the air,
We started Monday, August 3rd.
And in your classification, so games, I think, begin August
the 28th,
which if we were playing in Illinois, games would be starting August the 28th in here. So I guess how pumped are people that high school – now, are there going to be crowd restrictions?
There are crowd restrictions. From what I understand, each participant, player, band member, cheerleader, if you got the dancing girls or the dancing dolls or whatever they're called, the bells, each member will get 4 tickets allotted for their family members.
Okay, so that's now the small – classifications in Texas.
Yes.
So when the bigger classifications play, I think you said in September, that's
right.
Like the when we watch Friday Night Lights, like the Permian and whoever.
Right,
the,
right.
What is that? Does that? Will they only get? I can't imagine that. That's going to make a lot of people angry if they're left out.
Well, that's just it. Long-time season ticket members. There's no more season tickets. It is strictly general admission, and they will have a space for the regular fans to sit at, and it's going to be at 50% capacity.
Yeah.
Now then, the visiting teams, sometimes they don't bring the big crowd.
Yeah.
And we've got a 2,000-seat visitor side stadium. They may bring 200.
Yeah.
So if there's tickets left, then the home folks can go sit on the visitor side. In Texas football, every fan has to sit in the stand. There's no fans like here. You can roam the sidelines of.
Oh, really? You can't?
Oh, no.
They don't let the old-timers roam the sidelines in Texas?
People in Texas are crazy. People are crazy down there because who knows? We've had security issues and somebody may pull a gun out. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's shameful to say that, but it does happen. And that's something they want to avoid.
Yeah. Well, interesting. So was Friday Night Lights... I know based on a true story, but was it an accurate depiction, you think, of what high school football is
from
like?
What I saw of it, yes, to an extent. You know, it's typical. But, I mean, you really need to see the full effect. Just go to YouTube and type in some, like, sweaty Bulldogs or
okay,
Columbia Roughnecks.
This is a great question because the people of Indiana, right?
Okay.
They're proud of the depiction of Norman Dale in the movie Hoosiers. You've seen the Gene Hackman movie,
yep.
Right? They
yep.
say that's us. That's Indiana. That's you say Indiana basketball, watch Gene Hackman, Dennis Hopper, Barbara Hershey, and Hoosiers. We'll take that. Are the people of Texas, you think, just as proud of saying, well, watch Friday Night Lights, that's Texas football?
Well.
So if I say Dwayne Sutherland is Friday Night Lights, is that your banner?
No.
No?
No. I mean, it's you just got to watch Friday Night Football over there. You got to go to some of these places that's got these million-dollar facilities, that, like Katy and They're on the west side of Houston there in Pearland. And
yeah, I've seen those. Now, is there much pushback from projects like that? From, I mean, are is it just a situation where that's the expectation of Texas? Because sometimes when you have projects here in Illinois, and you know, we're talking about maybe a $400,000 track, not a $6 million football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say, well, geez, isn't that a bit much for athletics? Do you have those kind of debates when you see those type of high school football stadiums?
The schools put up the bond issues there, and it goes before the voters. And whenever the election comes, and if you got so many votes for, you're going to get it. Or if you got more than half the votes, you're going to get the bond passed, and you're getting the okay from the... Yeah, there might be... There's people that's always against them. Case in point, our school district. We play on some of the oldest facilities around the
area.
Now,
have you had some bond issues that just failed, or...
What? Right, because it included athletic facilities, and the people thinking, the old voters, that well, that field was good enough for us to play on.
Yeah, that's, well, that's the debate everywhere, man.
But the thing is, back in those days, it was only Friday night football.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have boys soccer, girls soccer. We play junior high football. 7th grade, 8th grade, we play Friday night football, we play JV, and we play freshman, all on that same field. We went over from grass, we went to turf, because it gets used.
Yeah.
And whenever you've got a 5-inch rain that came that week, and you're playing out there in the mud, and then here comes a band member, falls in a hole, breaks a leg, you've got legal issues coming up, buddy.
Yeah.
So... Finally, they got sense enough, let's put the turf on the field. Well, when that happened, it didn't go the turf didn't get put down on the field because of the bond issue. The school district had the money to do it, so they did it anyway. And before that happened, though, was that bond election that came up about improving athletic facilities where it got defeated overwhelmingly by our school district. Then those people said, we will never vote for anything if there's any athletic facilities on any future bond issues, you know, future bonds.
Yeah.
They're not going to vote for it because of what y'all did. Y'all come and put the turf down there anyway.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so is it still big? I mean, has Texas football still, has it lost any of its luster, or is it still big?
It's getting more because more schools are coming up, and it's just in heightened of the awareness of brings out the fan in you.
All right, so... The playoffs down there. I know the playoffs are big here.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about what the playoffs are like.
Okay.
At West Columbia, home of the Roughnecks.
Right.
So if they lose, they want the coach probably fired. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we don't fire coaches. We don't fire coaches at our school. Now some coaches do.
Before you answer the question about the playoffs.
Yes.
So I read a story one time. Well, I do a weekly segment with another radio guy in the area, and one time I came across the story of some of the high school football coaching salaries in Texas. Now, I think they're a top-level classification. I'm like, holy smokes, how do they do that? So what about and I know that's like top-level where you mm-hmm. see the $25,000 to $30,000 at Friday night football games, where if they're bringing in that type of crowd, let's be honest, the coach probably deserves some significant money. So are the high school football coaches well compensated down there?
Yes, I would say they are, especially in the like our school district. I think our athletic director, head football coach, probably gets, and most of them in the small school, you have a combination title. You're not only the head football coach, but you're the athletic director over all athletics.
Yeah,
girls and boys. Ours, I believe, is in the probably. It could be close to the 80,000 range, give or take a few.
That's not really out of whack.
It's not. I mean, it's a good, comfortable living. Now, you've got some probably like Gary Joseph coaches at the Katy High School. Of course, they've won 9 state titles, and he's probably well up and over the 100,000 range. As far as 200, I don't know if there's any $200,000 coaches. That seems to me, I don't think there would be, but, you know, you never can tell.
All right, so back to the playoffs. What's the playoff experience like?
Okay, playoff experiences. Okay, when they do this realignment, we are split into districts, or yeah, you, what you call
tobacco. Your enrollment of your high schools that you cut.
900, let's say it over 900. So right. I think it was like 909 or something That's like right. that. Anyway, we're 4A Division I. There are six schools in football in 4A Division I, District 12. Four teams from each district in every classification make the playoffs. You're seeded 1, 2, 3, or 4 based on your district record.
Yeah.
The first round of the playoffs, the fourth place team out of like our District 12 in 4A Division 1, the fourth place team will play the top seed of the next district. This was what we call the bi-district round. Okay. The second will play the third, and the third will play the second. You know, that's how that will work. And you'll go through your region. You have four regions, region 1 through 4. We are in region 3, or our school is. And so that means four. We have four districts per region. And then you'll... It'll be in bracket. It'll be a bracket format. There's no double elimination. It's just bracket format. Who wins goes to the next level.
So you have to play how many games to win a
by state district? Team? Then you have your region. You have your, by district, your area, then your regional final, then your semifinal.
So five rounds. That you have to win five
state
games.
Championship, five rounds.
And are the playoffs 1 week?
Yes,
every Friday or Saturday.
Every week they could play it. They could start on a Wednesday, but they need to finish it up by Saturday night.
Now, are they playing? Did they play in the state title in Texas at the new Cowboy Stadium now, or are they for everybody, all classes?
Yes.
So, what is it like for a kid? I can't imagine the experience it is for a kid to say, "I want to play at that unbelievable stadium that the Dallas Cowboys play in."
Mm-hmm. Now, we did have it in Houston here at NRG. They had it at NRG Stadium in Houston in 2015 because when the NFL schedule came out, it was all of a sudden they had the Cowboys on that weekend.
Oh, okay.
So that threw
but
that
they out had, but they had played at the Astrodome before, right, or not?
They have played in the old Astrodome. Yes, they have. But now here the last few years, with the exception of that one at NRG in 2015, since I think 2013 or 14, they played it at Cowboy Stadium.
All right, so have you been to Illinois high school football playoffs or anything yet or not?
Not to a playoff. Years ago, 2008, we went and watched Toledo play, and y'all were doing the broadcast, by the way.
Yeah, we do them all every week.
We was over at, was it Anawan? I believe it was Anawan. We went there.
Okay.
My youngest sister's son, Aaron Brokaw, I went and watched him play a JV game over at Galva.
Okay.
And... I just caught that.
You traveled the great country roads, man. That's good.
I tell you, man.
So you have a love for high school football, though.
Oh yeah.
I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I went to my first Columbia Roughneck game. Back then it was the old West Columbia Roughnecks. Now we're just called Columbia because see we're a consolidated school.
Yeah, that's everybody.
The town south is called Brazoria. And a lot of people still got their old mind. They still call them the West Columbia Roughnecks. When we call them that. The majority of people get this because you're leaving them out.
Well, yeah, that's consolidation everywhere. That's a story that you're just speaking to a story basically everywhere in any small town USA, whatever state you want to call it. Because the toughest thing to kill is a mascot in school colors, right?
Right. I can remember when I was 7, 8 years old, and we on that old field over there we played at there in West Columbia, they would have the crepe paper streamers hanging from the goalpost.
Oh, yeah.
Of the school's colors. As soon as that clock hits zero, about me and 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other people take a big line towards the goalpost and start tearing down the streamers, and I'd have them pinned up in my room. You know, colors from all the schools that we played against.
Yeah, awesome.
But, I've really enjoyed high school football for, that was 1958. I believe it was when I was 6 years old.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm glad you could come in today, man. Great. Thanks for coming in.
Great to meet you. To you before.
Tall drink of water,
even,
man.
Even at home, I've gotten on my computer and dialed up WRMJ.com because he used to have a commercial on here that I always liked to listen to 10 minutes after 7, where he said.
That's right. That's
Don
right.
R. Vickery Agency. This is Bob Vickery.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't want all
the
business.
Deep voice like you.
Just
now,
yours.
Yeah, that's right. Now, are you, I got to ask you, I'm assuming you're a big country music fan then?
No.
You're not?
No.
With that voice?
No.
You don't like George Strait? No? That's amazing. I thought Texas country music and football go hand in hand.
When I was a kid growing up, we didn't have a radio in a car. But when we finally got one, my dad used to play guitar, and he would had his song. He always liked, his favorite song was Put Your Sweet Lips a Little Closer to the Phone. Another one of his favorite songs was the Orange Blossom Special.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had to endure that stuff. I did. I grew up as a jazz musician. I used to play saxophone. I played this big band jazz.
Oh, wow.
Jazz was my music.
Well, we got to get you a big old George Strait belt buckle.
But
man.
And every time he would put that country music on, and my wife does that still, I want to reach over there and she'll slap my hand. She says, you leave that alone. I've got to listen to your crap in your car. You're going to listen to mine.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you enjoy the rest of the weekend in Aledo, Mr. 6-7, Dwayne Sutherland. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm Jim Taylor on WRMJ.